Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's way too quiet for you to be lifting up a sound. I'm just going to tell you right now. It's entirely too quiet in here for a Pentecostal church to lift up a sound. Come on. Come on, you're not doing it for a football team. You're not doing it for a basketball team, a baseball team. Come on. You're not doing it for your celebrity. You're not doing it for a musician or a singer. Come on, you're lifting up a sound to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Cause I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name. Was born and raised back to life again. And I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. And I was made for more. Oh, I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name. Was born and raised back to life again. Cause I was made for more. Oh, so why would I make a bed in my shade when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. And I was made for more. Oh, hallelujah. You called out my name, so I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah. You buried my past. Oh, I'm not going back. Oh, hallelujah. You called out my name, so I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah. You buried my past.
I'm not going back.
Hey, and hallelujah. So I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah. You buried my past. I'm not going back. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You called out my name. So I'll sing out your praise. I'm not going back. Cause I wasn't made to be tending the grave. I was called by name. Was born and raised back to life again. And I was made for more. So why would I a bed in my shade when a fountain of grace is running my way. I know I am yours.
I was made for more.
So why would I make a bed? So why would I make a bed in my shade when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know
I am yours. I was made for more.
Come on and give God a hand clap of praise in this room. Come on, somebody bless him in here. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, keep it going. Keep blessing him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So good to be in the house of the Lord with all of you this morning. What a wonderful way to end 1 year as we get ready to go later this week into a new year. And so it's good to be in the house of the Lord as 1 year comes to an end. And it'll be better for you to be in the house of the Lord next Sunday as we journey and start this fresh walk and fresh journey into a new year together. So I can't think of a better place for us to be on a Sunday morning on the last Sunday of 2024 than in the house of the Lord, celebrating, honoring Him, worshiping Him, praising Him. Amen. Amen. It's a joy. It's a privilege. It's an honor. Listen, don't ever take this for granted. Don't ever take for granted the privilege and opportunity to get up on a Sunday morning and go to church. There was a lot of people that didn't wake up this morning, but you did. There's a lot of folks who couldn't get out of the bed and couldn't get to church service today, but you did. And from my perspective, let me tell you something. You and I have a lot to be grateful for, and we have a lot to be thankful for. If you're in this room and you know that you know that you know that you've been bought with a high price, that He paid your way into eternity, if you know that He washed away all of your sins and all of your transgressions, if you know that, then you've got a lot to be grateful for and a lot to be thankful for. For there is therefore now no condemnation. Don't let anyone condemn you. You've got a lot to praise Him for and a lot to be grateful for in this place. I would be ashamed and I would be embarrassed if I had to have someone come up in front of me to tell me that I had to praise God after all the things that He has done for me. He has kept me. Come on, somebody. He has kept me. He has sustained me. He has watched over me. He has made a way where there seemed to be no way. He has kept me in perfect peace. He has kept me in health. Come on. You've got a lot to be grateful for. You've got a lot to be thankful for. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you lift up your hands one more time and just thank Him from the abundance of your heart? Come on, the Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. We know what's in your heart by what comes out of your mouth. If all you are griping and complaining and upset and fussing and cussing all the time, I know what's in your heart. But if you can lift up your hands, just, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you. 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 I honor you. I bless you. I praise you. I exalt you. You are mine and I am yours. You are the lover of my soul. You are my very best friend. You are the forgiver of my sins. You are the mender of my heart. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you in this place. We lift up the name of the Lord. You are high and lifted up. You are high and lifted up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, don't ever grow weary in well-doing. Don't ever grow weary in praising God. Don't ever grow weary in worshiping Him. Don't ever grow weary of thanking Him. You've got a lot to be grateful for and a lot to be thankful for. And don't ever forget that. The very fact that you can draw breath into your lungs is enough to say, for all of eternity, God, I thank you. For all of eternity. You know, I've often said this, if God never does another thing for me from this day forward, if He never lifts His finger and He never does another thing for me on my behalf, I've got enough already to praise Him throughout all of eternity for all the things that He has done for me. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. God bless you. I'll let you make your way back to your seats. And as you make your way back to your seats, do me a favor. Greet two or three people on the way back and welcome them into the house of the Lord. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm just going to say it from the very jump. You guys are entirely too quiet for a Pentecostal preacher. I'm just letting you know that. You are entirely too quiet, and it makes me nervous. And when I get nervous, Eric, when I get nervous, I preach a long time. When I get nervous, I'll preach for hours on end. This will become a hostage situation. Now, the louder you get, the faster I preach. The louder you get, the faster I preach, the faster I preach, the faster you can get to the restaurant and get home and watch whatever football game you're so inclined to watch. Amen. I thank you, God. You know, typically, because I know that we're coming up on the new year, we'll be celebrating the new year this week. I've spent the last week or two kind of reminiscing and contemplating and doing some introspection from 2024. I do that every year, just something that I do when I'm alone with the Lord or when I'm just sitting in my home just watching the fire burn. I just sit and think about this past year. And I think about the things that I was able to accomplish, and I think about the things that I missed out on. I think about the things that's worth celebrating. More often than not, though, Angel, I spend more times contemplating and thinking about missed opportunities. And maybe it's just the way I'm wired, but then when I think about missed opportunities, then that word regret comes up, and I start having some regrets on things that I wish I could have done, wish I should have done, and I think about those things as well. And I think it's okay, and I think it's healthy for us to think about and reminisce and do some introspection, but you can't stop there. You can't stop at just celebrating the victories of the past or lamenting over failures of the past. You've also got to consider the new year that's coming and all the possibilities that God has in front of you and all the possibilities that God has before us. And while I spend time maybe thinking about the things that we could have done and should have done and didn't do, I spend time dreaming about where we are going and what we will accomplish and what God has planned for each and every one of us in this place today and in this church that we call Riverside. Spending time with a family member that I haven't seen or talked to in probably about a year or so, and we were catching up. And as we were catching up, we were talking about things of yesteryear. And we were talking about things that we did together when we were younger. Him and I served in ministry together in this very church for about 20 years ago. We worked together and co-labored together for the Lord. And that relationship did not end well when he left here. And I remember saying, you know, I do have regrets on how I handled situations and how I handled things as a younger pastor. And I deal with that from time to time, and it's just the way that I'm wired, I suppose. But I was having some moments of regret as I was rehearsing with him the story of how he departed and how he left here. He didn't leave under good circumstances, and he didn't leave on good terms. And it ended up hurting our relationship for about a year or two. And as we were talking about it and discussing it, he stopped in the middle of it, and he said, "Jason, you do realize that I have forgiven you for all of that." And as soon as he said it, I nodded with my head, and with my mouth I said, "Yes, I know that." But in my heart, I heard the Spirit of God say, "But you haven't forgiven you." It's one thing for us to offer forgiveness. It's another thing for us to feel like we've been forgiven. And sometimes one of the hardest things for us to do is for us to forgive ourselves. And I started thinking about that, and I started thinking yesterday, Tina and I attended a funeral, and we ran into some people there that we haven't seen in many years, and some of them left not under good terms when they left this church as well. And as I contemplated and thought about that, I said, it's been a long time since we've seen them. It's been a long time since this has transpired and since this time has passed. It's been a long time. And again, in my heart, it wasn't this time, George, it wasn't you've got to forgive yourself. This time I heard enough is enough. It's time to let those things expire. It's time to let some of those things go. It's time to leave some of those things in the past. And don't let it harass you, and don't let it hinder you, and don't let it trip you up, and don't let it trap you, and don't let it keep you where you are today. It's time to move on. It's time for chains to be broken, and it's time for change to occur. Would you touch your neighbor and tell him that? Let some chains fall off, and let change occur. Let some chains be broken off of your life, and let change occur. I'm going to pray for you, and I want you to pray for me, and we're going to jump into the Word of God and see what God has for us this morning as we jump into the Scriptures and see where the Spirit of the Lord will lead us. One of the things I love about our church, Angel and I get together on Sunday mornings, and we talk about the service and the order of service. And inevitably, he'll ask me, is there an altar call that's going to transpire so he and the worship team can be prepared? And I'll look at him and I'll say, you know what? There could be. And then as we're sitting there talking about, well, there could be, Sarah's in the room, and Sarah will look at Angel and say, well, you have, I notice you have 3 praise songs. You have, it looks like 2 worship songs. Do you have any more worship songs after that? And he goes, well, you know, there could be. And what we ended up, what the consensus was, because of the environment, because of the space that we are trying to create here and the space that we love to see transpire here and happen here, we want to make sure we leave space for the Spirit of God to be able to move. While we like to plan and while we like to put things down on paper and like to have schedules and like to have, you know, set lists and sermons and all of that prepared, at the end of the day, we must leave room for the Spirit of God. In fact, you can do all of that other stuff, but if there is no room for the Holy Spirit, then those who are laboring may be doing it in vain. And at the end of the day, more than anything, you and I, the reason we gather together and assemble ourselves at Riverside Church is because there is a liberty and a freedom that comes in this place that allows the Spirit of God to be able to breathe and to be able to move and to be able to have His way anytime He wants. And so while I may feel like I've got a message to preach and there's things that I want to cover and things that I want to share, we will be subject to the move of the Spirit of God. And we will allow God to move. So I want to pray for you, and I want you to pray for me. And when you pray, I want you to pray that God anoint me and use me to speak to you. And I'm going to pray for you that your hearts and your ears are sensitive and tender before the Lord, that you may hear the voice inside of this voice and allow the Spirit of God to permeate and plow up and dig up the hard places of our hearts. Are you ready to pray? Let's pray together. Listen, I want you to pray. Oftentimes when we say we're going to pray, there's only one person praying. Not today. I want you praying. Do you hear me? And if you don't know what to pray, you say, I'm not good at prayer, then just point your hand and go, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Fake it till you make it. Or touch Him, Lord, touch Him, Lord, touch Him, Lord. I don't care, but pray. We've got to get, listen, I'm going into 2025, and I'm going into 2025, and we will revisit and rekindle the altar of prayer at Riverside Church. We will, listen, God's been dealing with this preacher's heart, and I've heard some things, and I've seen some things, and I've been witness to some things that at the end of the day, the only way that victory will come, the only way that revival will come, the only way that victory is going to come is when the people of God hit their knees and start to pray and start to call out, take on the horns of the altar and cry out to the Almighty God. I'm here to tell you we need a revival of prayer back in the church. Where we pray, where we pray, where we pray. Ho! Let me tell you something. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The family member that left out of here 20 years ago under not so good terms, that I met with and talked with, let me tell you this. You can stay standing if you want to. Last night, that individual, that family member, was in this building last night by himself, walking the altars here, walking the aisles here. You know what he was doing? He was praying. He was praying. Do you remember a few weeks ago? Do you remember a few weeks ago when I said I prayed every night for 6 months? Every night I met at this little church and prayed for 6 months straight. He was the one that was praying with me. He left out Friday night from my house and he texted me and he said, "Hey, is it all right if you leave the back door of the church open? I feel like I want to go in there and pray like I used to." And I said, "Absolutely." I didn't leave the back door open. I had Mary come and open the front door for him, but we let him come in and he walked into this place and he prayed. And I want to tell you something. I feel something different in the atmosphere tonight or today. And I believe it's a result of a man who is in here praying and seeking God. And so I'm here to tell you, we need to pray. And if you don't know how to pray, if you don't know how to pray, stick with me this year. You'll learn how to pray. Men and women of God, we must know how to pray. So just to show that we're in unity, let me get you to stand to your feet. You point your hand towards me. I'll point my hand towards you, and we'll pray. And I want the people that know how to get a hold of the horns of the altar of God, let's pray. Listen to me. God, I feel this in my spirit. There might be souls in the balance in this room today, and their victory might be hinged on how well we pray this morning. Their freedom, their liberty might hinge on how well we approach the throne of God and pray this morning. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? I said, are you ready? Come on, men and women of God, let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you right now. In the precious, holy name that's above every name. In the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, we come to you with boldness. We come to you, your throne of grace. We ask, we invite, we cry out, meet us in this place today. Move on our hearts today. Change our hearts. Change our minds. Speak to us, Spirit of God. Speak to us out of the anointed word. Speak to us from your spirit. Speak to us, Lord, I pray. Speak to my heart. Change my trajectory today. Change us. Heal us. Set us free, I pray, in Jesus' name. Deliver us in Jesus' name. Give us victory in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody take the next 30 seconds and celebrate Him. Glorify Him. Magnify Him. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Oh. Oh.
Amen. 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 And amen. And amen. And amen.
Okay.
And amen.
Okay.
Oh, amen.
Okay.
Oh, amen.
Okay.
Oh, amen.
Okay.
And I'm in. Oh, I'm in.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm calling an audible. This is not planned. This is not scheduled. Sarah, I know this will mess you and Tina up. I'm going to be here Tuesday night, New Year's Eve.
Yes.
I'm coming into this sanctuary Tuesday night, New Year's Eve. You can come if you want to. I give an open invitation to anybody who wants to join the pastor. But I'm coming here on Tuesday night, on New Year's Eve. Who wants to meet? What time? Noriel, what time? Huh? 9 o'clock? You want to be here at 9? Here's what I want to do though, Noria. I'm praying till midnight. I want to pray in the new year. I want to pray in the new year.
It's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything.
Holy Spirit.
Because your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Yeah. Okay. Your goodness. Your goodness. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. But your goodness is running after. It's running after me. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. 'Cause all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath, oh, that I am able, oh, I will sing all the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of God.
You know, one of the things that I've labored in the last 2 years is that I met with a leadership team in here a couple of weeks ago, and I explained to them that churches are bipolar. And by that I mean they are an organization, but it's also a living organism. It's an organization and it's a living organism. And I've been guilty of going from one side of the other, swinging from one pendulum, or on the pendulum, going from one extreme to the other. Extremely organized, but then forego the living organism or the spiritual side of things. And then I've swung from the other side to the spiritual and neglected organization. And I've been laboring for the last couple of years to find a happy medium. And so while I feel like we've done a wonderful job at organizing and putting structure and systems and all of that in place, there is no way that will cause churches to grow, yes, but it'll never sustain it over time. And what you'll end up with are a bunch of shallow, undiscipled followers of church. Let's not create shallow followers of church Let's create a space and an atmosphere that have deep, loving chasers of God, disciples of God that chase after God with everything in them. Who worship extravagantly, who give generously, who preach passionately, who worship deep and lovingly. Come on. Who worships and loves God with every fiber of their being. Love to get back to the place where church attendance is no longer an option.
Yeah.
Where attending a service is no longer optional.
Come on.
Not that we have to guilt people or manipulate them to come, but where I won't be able to live good or live right or breathe right unless I can get into the presence of the Almighty God. My life will feel empty unless I can be in His presence. How?
And I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk. Y'all better say it opens. I've got it, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Cause you are good, you're good. And oh, cause you are so good, you're so good, you're. You are so good, you're so good, you're.
Well, I'm just going to talk to you out of my heart then, and we'll see if we get to any sermon. Let me just talk to you, and I'll let you go in a minute. Met with Angel a few weeks ago. Him and I sat in my office along with Tina. And I sat him down in front of me. And I said, how do you think church service went last Sunday? He said, I don't think it went too good. I said, I don't think it went too well either. I'm going to just tell on us a little bit. I said, I don't think it went that well either. We sang. We preached. And I remember looking at him, and I said, I think we could have done a little bit better, though. Just felt like something was missing. I said, I'll be honest with you, Angel, I didn't feel like there was any oil in the room. He said, I don't know that I felt it. Wasn't that they're not gifted? Wasn't that they weren't talented? It's not that the people that were up here don't love Jesus. Listen to me. The people that stand on this stage without doubt love Jesus, and Jesus loves them. It's not on them. I said to him, I said, I'm not going to blame Zach, and I'm not going to blame Robbie, and I'm not going to blame Marvin, I'm not going to blame Andrew, I'm not going to blame anybody up here. And I looked at him, I said, this problem is our problem. And in the middle of it, just me talking very passionately, wasn't yelling, it was very passionate, it flew out of my mouth, and I knew it had to be the Spirit of God. Because it convicted me, and I said, did anybody even pray for that service? Did we even pray for it? And I wanted to say, you didn't pray hard enough, and you didn't pray like you were supposed to. And God was saying in my heart, preacher, you didn't pray like you were supposed to. You didn't labor. You didn't cry out. Yeah, but I organized the church. But I got playbooks in place. I put it to some teams together. I'm raising up leaders. Good. What about prayer? What about praying for this place?
Take it up.
Don't lose another marriage because you didn't pray. Don't lose another drug addict because you didn't pray. Don't lose another child because you didn't pray. Get on your face and pray.
Oh, you are good. You're good. You're good. Good, you're good. Oh, good.
I don't want to lose another person to a mental health disease, a mental health crisis. I'm telling you, while I know that the mental health is an issue in this church, I'm just going to say it. I am not 100% convinced that it is not attached to some kind of spiritual, demonic. I'm telling you that it is. And I'm not going to bury my head in the sand and tell you to pop another pill. I'm all right with counseling. I'm all right with medication. But let me tell you something. Jesus healed a lot of people that had mental health issues, and they didn't have Zoloft and Prozac or anything else. But what they did have and what he did walk in was an authority and a power that transformed and changed rooms when he walked, where Peter's shadow healed the sick and the lame. Why? Because people prayed. I want to create a space here. When people come on the property and they come through the doors, when they turn up that lane out there, I want them immediately to sense and feel the presence of God. I want to create a space in this room where people can walk in and not having an encounter with a church, not having an encounter with a highly organized, orchestrated church. I love it, Sarah. We're not going to stop doing it, baby. But I want them to have an encounter. I want them to be apprehended by the one who has apprehended me. I want you to lay a hold of the one that has laid hold of me. Do you know what that means when I say that? Do you know what Paul meant when he said that? When he said to lay a hold of? This isn't anything passive in the Greek. This is a very aggressive language. It's very aggressive language in the Greek when Paul said to lay a hold of the one who has laid a hold of me. I'll help you understand it. When you're watching your football team play today and you see the opposing team running down the field with the ball and your team is chasing after that guy with the ball running, chasing after him, and when he gets to him, he doesn't tap him on the shoulder and say, "Excuse me, but I'm gonna need you to stop right here." No. Ray Lewis didn't go up to his opponents and go, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. I need you to stop right here and lay down." Ray Lewis.
One more time.
He knocked the taste out of your mouth.
One more time, one more time, one more time.
He'd hit you so hard you forgot your name.
One more time. Oh my dude.
You go, what's that got to do with what Paul said? What Paul was saying was, you know what Ray Lewis was doing? In the Greek, that's Ray Lewis was laying a hold of. That's how aggressive it is. And what Paul was saying, I'm going to chase down and I'm going to tackle and get a hold of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus chased me down, tackled me, and got a hold of me. I want to create a space, Adam, in this church where people walk in like you and like me, where you feel like Jesus tackled you in the altar and said, "I've been waiting on you." That's what he meant when he said to lay a hold of.
He meant to tackle you and hold you and get to get a hold of. Now we've made it something passive and delicate and sensitive, and no. To lay a hold of is to grab and tackle, and I refuse. I refuse to let you go. I refuse to release you. And that's what Jesus did with you, and that's what Jesus did with me. He got a hold of you, and he got a hold of me. And Paul said, I want to lay a hold of him like he laid hold of me. And maybe that's why, Brother George, we set the chicken wings and mozzarella sticks aside on New Year's Eve, and instead of watching a countdown in the Big Apple, we count down on our knees here at this altar, and we get a hold of the horns of the altar, and we start crying out for a community, for a church, for every drug addict, every alcoholic, every prostitute, every warlock, every witch, everyone that's demon oppressed, demon possessed. We start praying that God would set them free, because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And I want to create a sacred space in here. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind me, I press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. He started off by saying, forgetting those things that are behind. Let me help you with that. I needed help with that, and I want to help you with that. It's not denying the things that have happened in your past. It's not erasing those things in your past from your mind. It is simply saying, I refuse to let those things confine me another moment. Some of you, I'm going to preach to myself, elders, because I've done test died and shared it with you. So I love when my elders come in there, I'd say things to them, and then I say it to them because I know what I'm saying they can hold me accountable for later. Some of you have experienced some traumatic events this past year, maybe the year before, maybe the year before that. They have been traumatic. They have been painful. They have hurt. You have been wounded. You've gone through a divorce. You're getting ready to get divorced. You've gone through pain. Some of you, it happened 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, and yet you still rehearse it with great detail. You can repeat the conversation back that happened 15 years ago with your mama that hurt you. You're able to repeat it back with high degrees of accuracy because it has confined you and it has trapped you. And you are trapped in a moment that happened 20 years ago. And though your body is in 2024, your mind is still 20 years ago. And I'm calling you out of that today. And I'm calling us out of that today. Do not let your past confine you and trap you for another moment. Second thing, don't let your past define where you're going. I am the sum total. I make up the sum total of everything that has happened in my past. I am who I am because of some of the things that I've been through and gone through. And I used to say, don't let them define you. How is that? That's my past. Those are my stories. I am who I am because of some of that. Don't let it define. Look, it might define where you are, but it does not have to define where you are going. Only God gets to determine where you're going. The Bible teaches me that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Can I tell you something? Do you know where the highest degree of anointing is? The highest degree of anointing that you will ever experience is not in your past. It is not in your future. It is right here, right now, in your present. That's where the highest degree of anointing is right now for you. Why? Because while God may be in your yesterday and he may be in your tomorrow, he is present with you right now in the moment. And we reminisce about the good old days, Darlene, and how the good old days, how it used to be, and why I honor the good old days. And I dream about some good old days to come. I don't want to miss what God wants to do in the moment. And so while, like Paul, I forget the things that are behind, I'm not going to let it confine me, and I'm not going to let it define where I'm going. I press on. Adam, when you start forgetting the things in the past, you have only but one option. Press on. If I wasn't a white preacher, I'd say, press on, press on. But because I'm convinced somewhere in my lineage, can I preach it like I feel it, Noriel? Christine, can I preach it like I feel it? I'd say it like this. You got to tell your neighbor, neighbor, there's only but one option for you, and that is to press on, press on, press on, press on, press on, press on, press on. I'm not going to stay right here. I'm going to press on. I'm not going to stop right here. I'm going to press on. I've stayed too long. I've worn out my welcome. Where I'm in has expired. And now it's time to press on. Let the church say, press on. Press on. Let the church shout, press on. Press on. High five everybody on your row and tell them you're going to press on, press on, press on. It's time to move. It's time to move. Paul said, I'm not going to stay right here. I'm forgetting all of that. It's time to move. I wish I had somebody in here that knew what time it was. It's not time to rest on your blessed assurance. It's not time to rest another moment. We've rested long enough. We've rested long enough. I've been resting since COVID, and I'm tired of resting. It's high time we start pressing on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. The church has been asleep for 4 years, but this year, 2025, is a year where God awakens the church. I feel an awakening coming in this place. I feel a stirring coming in this place. It's not going to be business as usual. It's going to be about my Father's business. Not business. Not church business. Why? Because I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm pressing toward the mark and the prize of the what kind of calling? Of the what kind of calling? Mediocre. Mid. Less than. Vanilla. What kind of calling? Good God, son, you about to make me run around this building. You start playing like that, bro. I'll tell you right now.
Whoa! Oh, my dick! No!
Pack it up.
Man, do how you feel. Do how you feel. That's all right.
Dave Stewart, it's a high calling. We've watered it down. It's a high calling. We try to play it off, but it's a high calling. Let me tell you where the high calling, it's a high calling because it comes from a high lifted God. It comes from a God who sits high on a throne. That's what makes it a high calling. Because he's high and lifted up. That's why it's a high calling. Sometimes, Jeremiah, better get a hold of this, son. This is a high calling. It's a high calling. Not to be trifled with. Don't treat it as a common thing. Church, don't treat it as common. We're not going to come in here on Sunday morning and treat it as a common thing. It's high from a high and lifted God. Justin, because it's a high calling, watch me, son. It's going to require me. It's going to require you. It's going to require the worship team, the tech team, first impressions team, the elders. It requires us to come up a little bit higher. Because it's a high calling. Chandra, I loved it because Paul, when he started this whole text off, he said, I haven't attained this. I haven't arrived. Philippians chapter 3, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't attained this yet. Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, Paul, who planted churches all over Asia Minor, Paul, who didn't just have converts by the ones or the fives or the tens or the hundreds. This brother converted cities, entire cities. He rocked their economy when he showed up. And he said, I haven't arrived. This brother raised people from the dead. This brother was shipwrecked, stoned, beaten, and threatened all the time. He said, yeah, I haven't attained this thing. I haven't arrived yet. I still got a ways to go. Leave your religious masks at home. I don't care if you got it together or not. I got people on my leadership team right now. I question if some of them are even saved. I'm not talking about Butron. I'm talking about Jason. I'm just kidding. It's a high calling, George. Nelson, this is a high calling that you and I have on our lives, brother. And we no longer going to treat this as a common thing. No, this is a high calling, which requires me to live according to the values and the standards and the characteristics of a holy and righteous God. Why? Because it's a high calling. Are you tired? You want me to wrap it up? Get you out of here? Do the Ravens play today? Is that it? No, Christine's here. I know the Ravens aren't playing. If the Ravens were playing, Christine wouldn't be here. She'd be down in Baltimore. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Got on to you, Angel, and I said, I think the songs we're singing are just worn out and they're too old. And then I was at the house this week, and Tina caught me singing this real old song. I take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. I just want to praise you. I was walking around the house.
Don't encourage him.
I thought I was by myself. I take the shackles off my feet so I can dance.
I just want to pray you. And she walked up and she like, what are you doing? So I'm singing a song. She said, yeah, but you told me an angel, these are old songs. And I said, you know what? I took the shackles off my feet so I could dance. I just want to praise you.
Yo, show them you can really sing, though. Hit that.
I mean, listen, the old songs, some of them still got oil in them, man. It's not the problem. It's not with the song. It's not with the song. I'm going to spend the next 3 weeks preaching to you a sermon called Sacred Spaces. And I'm going to preach to you what I feel like God's put in my heart for us for 2025. This will become a sacred space, a holy space, a space of righteousness, a space of holiness, a space that calls people into a deeper, more intimate walk with Him. A space where your marriages can be made whole. A space where cancer has to bend its knee. A space where drug addicts can instantaneously be set free. A space so holy, so sacred, so set apart that when they come in with mental health issues, all of a sudden those dark clouds that have been clouding their mind seem to dissipate. Where fear is no longer king. Where depression no longer gets a voice at the table. Where people that are demon oppressed and demon possessed get set free. Once and for all. You better reach over and touch your neighbor and say, get ready. We're about to go on a journey this year. We're about to go on a journey. We're about to go on a journey. And you might see some things you didn't think you'd ever see. You might hear some things you didn't think you'd ever hear. But I'm here to tell you, we're going to create a sacred space here on this property where the Spirit of God has domain, has kingship and lordship, where His name will be high and lifted up, where He will be honored and revered, and there will be a healthy fear of the Lord. Why? Because the people of God are going to learn to pray. I'm here today. We start praying, Darlene. This place, I got called into the ministry in this sanctuary by praying in that corner. I'm only pastoring today because I prayed in this sanctuary in that corner. I come to this church because I stood right about where Dave Stewart is. My first Sunday night service in this building, I stood right back there and bawled my eyes out because God was in this place. And can I tell you something? God's never left this place. God's still in this place. You'll see it. You'll see it. I'm going to tell you right now, the only way you're going to be able to experience it, you got to be in the room. You got to be in the building. I'll tell you another thing I'm toying around with right now, Dwayne. I'm toying around with limited access through the live stream. I'm really contemplating that. I'm not saying there won't be no access. It'll be limited access. Because I think what God, I want God to see do in this place is so sacred. I don't want it to be common. And I don't want to treat it as common. And I don't want to put it out there like it is something common. You know what they call intimacy when it's put on display for everybody to see? Pornography. And maybe there's too many in the church that got so comfortable with that. You don't want me to go ahead. They might still be live streaming. Press on toward the
this mark, this prize, this high calling. And we've got to press on. We got to move on. We got to pray on. Mike, we're going to touch on subjects this year that I've been afraid to preach on. We're going to preach about and talk about things that I have neglected and have steered away from because of some of my insecurities and some of my fears. But, George, we're going to hit them this year. We're going to hit them hard.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
Come on, lift your hands up all over the room right now. Just let's just honor him and revere him in here. Come on, lift your hands up. I'm going to let you go here in just a second, but come on. Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Spirit of God. It's a high calling, and because it's a high calling, it will absolutely require direction, movement, baptism of the Holy Spirit. The calling is a high calling, and it will not be accomplished or done apart from the Holy Spirit. There will be an emphasis put on the baptism of the Holy Spirit because the church can no longer afford to be weak and emaciated. But the church has been endued with power in Acts chapter 2, and we can no longer operate powerless. We must operate in power, not by might, not by strength, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Come on, just keep those hands up. Keep worshiping. Stay in this posture of reverence. Stay in this posture of reverence and honor. Let the Spirit of God move in this place. Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Spirit of God. It's a high calling which will require higher standards. Will require for you and I to walk with high standards, integrity, higher degree of holiness as the Spirit of God leads you and leads me. So anyway, I'm coming here Tuesday night. Noriel said 9. I was thinking 11. We'll compromise and make it 10. I'll be here 10 o'clock on Tuesday night. I don't know if you're able to make it. I don't know if you got plans to go out and eat chicken wings and mozzarella sticks.
It's out the window.
But I'm not into manipulation and guilt, but if you love Jesus like you say you do, you will be here.
Nah, mean what you say. Mean what you say. Mean what you say. Mean what you say. Mean what you say.
I'm playing. I'm playing. I know you love Jesus. Well, look, I have no idea. This is spontaneous. This is as spontaneous as I get right here, what I just did. It is absolutely 100% like my sister Brandy was planning on having a New Year's Eve party, and I'm sure I'm going to get guff from her when I get home. And Brandy, I love you, and I love your parties, and I love the games, and I love the food, and I love all that. And you can still do that, baby. You can still have it for the family. But I'm coming here. And doesn't mean I'm more spiritual than anybody else. I'm not. I'm like Paul. I've not arrived. I'm not even worthy to even consider myself and my name in the same conversation with the apostles. Not even close. But what I do know is that a lot of the things that I want to experience and a lot of the things that I want to see happen in your lives and in my life and in this church is not going to come unless we get a hold of God in prayer. There's never been a move of God. There's never been a revival that's ever graced this planet without prayer beginning first. You must be in prayer. There must be prayer. We can worship all day long. I love worship. I love worshiping. This is a very worshipful church. And we love to worship. And we will worship. We're not going to tone down. We're not going to water down. We're not going to step back from that. But what we all going to do is we're going to ramp up prayer and make prayer a priority. Prayer needs to become a priority. Not just us praying individually, but collectively as a community. We need to pray. We need to come together and pray. I don't know what that's going to look like. I just know Tuesday at 10 o'clock I'll be here. Me and Angel.
I'll be here.
He'll be here. Probably Tina, I'm thinking. She might come too. And Lisa Malbone, I may take the shackles off my feet so I could dance. I may do that. But we're gonna pray. We're gonna seek the Lord. We're gonna worship, and we're gonna leave this year in prayer. We're gonna enter the new year in prayer. We're gonna saturate this building with prayer. How much oil do we have? Make sure there's enough oil in here. We'll anoint every single chair. We'll get oil on it. Every instrument's going to get oil on it. This pulpit, we'll slather it up with oil. The cameras get oil. Everything gets oil. We're going to oil it. It looked like the Exxon Valdez done crashed out in this place. We'll anoint everything and everybody with oil. There's mice in this place. I'm going to chase them down, and I'm going to put oil on them. Everybody gets oil. We're going to pray. We're going to get a hold of God. I told somebody the other day that I think this will be the year, 2025 will be the year where people start going back to church. People are going to start going back to church. People are going back now. They are going now. They're looking now. They're standing in lines now in Atlanta to get into a church. They're in lines to get in. Yeah. People are hungry. People are hungry. You know, we're out here looking at drones in New Jersey and chasing after aliens coming up out of oceans and all this silly stuff. You know what it really is? Is people are wanting to see something supernatural. And they got to look at drones in New Jersey and aliens coming up out of the ocean because they can't find it in their local church. And the local church ought to be the place. I mean, the local church ought to be the place where the most supernatural stuff is occurring and happening. Where the most supernatural is taking place. The church ought to be the place where you experience and encounter the most supernatural things. My God. Elders, are you hearing anything? I'll relinquish the microphone. I'm done. I think I'm done. If you're hearing anything, holler. Come on. Everybody stand to your feet. Let's stand to our feet. Take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. Y'all don't know anything about that. You will one day, though.
Come on, man. Just very briefly, a testimony this year. So I guess it was a few days before Christmas. You guys may or may not know I worked the night shift. And just after, and it's interesting that he mentioned worship. Very often worship is leading you someplace. And I found my worship as I was driving home leading me to Riverside. There are actually two members of our Riverside family that the Lord had laid upon my heart to pray for. And it was really that room, conference room one. The Spirit of God spoke very clearly to me to just kind of come here, park. And I began to reason with God. I said, well, I think Mondays is when they do the staff meeting, so I don't want to interrupt that. And I found myself turning the vehicle around, but I just really felt that compulsion of the Lord. And so I made a U-turn and came back toward Riverside. And then I said, well, you know, I don't want folks to think that I'm, you know, there's this thing as pseudo-humility where you find yourself trying to be humble. And there's just a lot of insincerity in that. And so, well, you know, I don't want folks to think that I'm, you know, some guy who's trying to show off praying. And so turn the vehicle around again. And just really felt that impression from the Lord, Dwayne, to pray. And I found myself turning back around and coming back to Riverside again. So on the third occasion, here's what I said to the Lord. I said, well, you know, Lord, I can pray just as well as at home as I can here. And so when I went home, I found myself encountering one distraction after another. And I never prayed for those individuals. I actually found myself watching YouTube and remembering in that moment that I did not intercede for those two individuals. And one of the things that you get here is you get to worship the Lord without distraction. You get the opportunity to attend unto the Lord without distraction. It's probably not the testimony you thought you'd hear from an elder, but I want to be transparent about something. I thought about the crisis that those two individuals were going through. I thought about how God led me from worship to a place of intercession, and how I never made it from that place. So that's what I want to share with you this morning.
Hey, listen, I appreciate that, George. Before you judge, listen, we listen and we don't judge. The Apostle Paul has not arrived. It doesn't mean George doesn't love you. It doesn't mean George doesn't love the Lord. It doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't love George. Just sometimes God has a way of getting a hold of us and stirring us. And hey, believe it or not, sometimes God's got to jerk the slack out of us. Let him do it. The Bible says that judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And I want us to be the most victorious people. I want us to be the happiest people. I want us to be the most content people, the most prosperous people, the most generous people, the most loving people, the most holy, righteous people, the most unified people that this planet has ever seen. And we can do that as long as we are willing to commit to coming together, joining together in prayer. You know, a lot of the grievances we have and a lot of the backbiting that we have and a lot of the issues that we have with other people, that will end when you pray. It's hard to be mad at people when you pray to a holy God. It's hard to be mad at people when you pray to a righteous God. It's hard to be mad at people when you pray to a loving God. It's hard. I mean, you really have to go out of your way to harden your heart in those instances. And I want to create a space in here where it will be absolutely impossible for people's hearts to be hardened. That they will melt like wax when they come in because God's presence is so intense in this room. Amen. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's chase after God and see what happens. Let's pursue Him with everything we got and see what happens. What do we have to lose? What do we have to lose? We have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Amen. I'm excited about 2025. Thank you for listening to me as I bared my heart and soul to you. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for you. I believe with all my heart there will be a this place is about to just become a life-changing place in Harford County. Yeah. Well, sing, baby, sing. Let that baby sing. Amen. One more time and we're done. Lift those hands up before the Lord. Father in heaven, thank you so much. Thank you for your sweet spirit that has graced us in this room today. Thank you for your presence that has graced us in this place today. Thank you, God, for keeping us, for watching over us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for every man, woman, child, young person that's assembled in this room today. Thank you, God, for connecting us with the right people. The people that are here today are meant to be here. They are meant to be here. They are part of us, and they are meant to run with us. They are meant to usher in the presence of God with us. They are meant to usher in this awakening, this fire, this stirring, God, that I'm sensing in my spirit. They are meant to be a part of it, God. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing every single one of us together, all of us together, all of us, God. Thank you, Lord. Christine, I don't think it's an accident that you're here today, all the way up from Jacksonville. It's not an accident that you're here, baby. Is Lewis here? Where you at, Lewis? When are you going home, son? When do you leave? Friday? Good. Let's do lunch tomorrow. Can we do lunch tomorrow? My man, we'll do lunch tomorrow. It's not an accident, Lewis, that you're here.
Adam, it's not an accident that you're here. Nelson, it's not an accident that you're here. You knew you're meant to be here. That song you were singing, I'm meant for more. I was meant for more than this. I was meant for more than this. That family member I met with yesterday, or met with on Friday, you know what he said to me? He said, I'm making more money now than I've ever made. Well into six-figure salary. Well into it. He's making a lot of money. You know what he told me? I'm meant for more than this, though. I just feel like I'm meant for more than this. And he's making a lot of money. He said, yeah, but you know what? I'm not fulfilled. Because I feel like God has destined me and I'm meant for more than this. I said, okay, we're going to pray about that. We'll pray about that. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you're meant for more. You're meant for more. You're meant for more. You're meant for more. Christian, you hiding back there in the corner, son. I see you. Brother, you're meant for more. I'm calling you out, man. You're meant for more. You've been hidden long enough, and I'm calling you out. I don't know what God has, but I know one thing. When I see you, I know God's got his hand on you. You're meant to run with me. We're meant to run together. Justin, you're meant for more. You hear me, Justin? You're meant for more. Turn these lights up so I can see a little bit, Karen. I just call everybody out. It's all right, baby. If you've got any kind of techie experience, Karen, wave at me as big as you can. Everybody turn around, look at Karen. If you got technical, techie experience, go back and talk to her. I need your help. You're meant for more. You're going to see it. Savannah, you're meant for more, baby. You know it. Ivy, you're meant for more, baby. Ivy, you hear me? You're meant for more. Now, stay in your trance. Stay lost in the spirit. I'm good with it. She can hear me. Tish, baby. Where's my evangelist at? Where's my evangelist at? Where's my evangelist at? Tish. I will send, if you miss a Sunday, I'm sending Tish after you. Skip a Sunday on me. You miss two Sundays, she's coming to your house with oil and a ball bat. Don't make Tish mad. Don't make Tish mad. Jackson, it's not an accident you're here today. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Okay, I'm done. I got to quit. I'm done. Daniel, you hear me? You're meant for more, man. I'm calling you out too, son. I'm going to call out all these Butron boys.
Pastor.
Yeah, man.
That was the product of prayer.
What's that?
That was the product of prayer. That was
product
my
of prayer. Your prayer.
That
you're praying prayer. For your brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Look, they're here. They've been here. Yeah.
That's the product, baby.
Jack Patterson, you're meant for more, man. I'm calling you out, Jack. Jack, you and Renee know how to pray in these altars. Be here next Sunday because I'm having a prayer tunnel. I need you to help me pray. Will you come? Come be here, Renee. You guys pray. Man, I tell you what. Jack is a Marine, and when Jack gets a hold of you in prayer, he like JoJo, you're going to feel something. I promise you that.
If I get in real bad trouble and I can't get JoJo, I'm finding Jack. And I'm like, Jack, get down here. Hit me. Lay hands, I'll throw elbows. Okay, I'm done. I got to quit. Tuesday night. What time do we say Tuesday? 10 o'clock Tuesday night. I'm going to come here. If y'all want to come, you can come. If you don't want to come, no condemnation, no guilt. Go have your chicken wings and mozzarella sticks and count the big ball down in New York, whatever it is you want to do. I won't shame you or guilt you or any of that. I just need to be here praying. I feel that in my heart, and I feel that. Irene? You're from Florida, too. Welcome, baby. I'm glad you're here. I pastored that. She was one of the first people that she had to suffer with me when I was a brand new pastor. Some of you are going, you've been doing this for 20 years and we're still suffering. Shut up. She suffered from the beginning. Her and the Malbones, they suffered. Who else? Who else was with me up in Elkton? Tanya, where's Tanya? Oh, Tanya's in the cafe. Tanya suffered with us as well. And Malbone's still here. Still here. I love it. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Nelson. They suffer. They go, eventually he's got to get good at this, right? For 20 years, he's got to get better, right? Hold on, Lisa. Don't give up on me just yet. Amen. Amen. I love y'all. Thank you guys so much. I'm sorry I kept you this long. I'm sorry. That's done. It's over with. Ain't no sentence about it. God bless you. I dismiss you. David Gabriel, I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out, David Gabriel. There's something great on the inside of you, son. I'm calling it out. All right, yeah, y'all can leave. Y'all can leave. Greet each other. Just go ahead and leave. They're like, the hostage situation is over. You can leave. You can leave. God bless you. I love you. I would come greet you at the door, but I'm going to hang out up here at the altar for a minute. So if you want to talk to me, you can come up here and talk to me. Otherwise, I love you. I'll see you Tuesday night at 10 o'clock maybe. And if not, I'll see you next Sunday when I start preaching a new sermon series, I think.
Take the shackles off my feet.
Take the shackles off my feet so I can dance.